I sleep well, John, because of one word. Do you know what the word is?
Weed?
Indica. Indica. Yeah. Tell me that stuff works like crazy. All right, so 1 week from tonight. 1 week from tonight. I'm going to open my wallet for anybody from the station who wants to join me in the right field pavilion to boo the Houston Astros. Who's in? Who's with me?
I'm in right now.
Jesse's in.
I'm in. I'm in.
Jorge's in. Ireland.
No, I don't boo.
Oh, come on. In this case,
I don't boo.
Even the Astros, you're unwilling to boo?
No, I'm not booing them.
They are cheaters. They are filthy, dirty cheaters.
I agree with all that. These are the same people that booed Kenley Jansen a week ago. I'm not into booing professional athletes.
Oh, I'm into booing the Astros. I'm into booing Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa.
So when Kenley Jansen gets up three runs and the place boos the crap out of him, you can't say, where is this coming from?
What have
I
said?
It's coming from people like you.
You're completely, as always, you're completely mischaracterizing everything I say. Which
you just said you want to show up and boo.
Which I think is your job here. Right. I would never boo my own team.
Okay.
But booing the team that stole the 2017 World Series from me, absolutely, yeah, I'm going to boo.
I think they're going to get their fair share of ribbing.
Plus, by the way, we will I want to sit in the right field pavilion because that's where a lot of the real fans are. Are you okay with that, Jorge?
Yeah, so the homies are, man. What are you
exactly.
Talking about?
And Jesse, you there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they opened up Dodger Stadium now.
Are there any tickets available for that game?
I'm looking at them. Yeah, we can get in there for a decent price. We can get in there for a decent price, like $50. And if Lara Romo went, if Greg Bergman wants to, Ireland won't. If
I won't.
George Sedano wants to go, although he's super rich, he doesn't need me to buy him tickets. If Al Sliwa, they call him Al now.
Oh God.
Al Sliwa, Travis Rogers, Christopher Morales, Boss Amanda, anybody that wants to go, right field pavilion, I'll get seats all together so we can relentlessly boo the Houston Astros.
Well, I think it's going to happen. I think they are going to be booed a ton. It'll be the first time that there have been fans at a Dodger-Astro game.
Correct.
In Los Angeles since that World Series, right?
Yep, absolutely. First time we're seeing. We played there, but they haven't played here yet. And I think they're going, by the way, from the Dodgers to the Angels. You're playing two games with the Dodgers, then two games right afterwards with the Angels. But 1 week from tonight, big group, we're going to go boo. Boo!
Yeah, you bet. I think that game's going to sell out, so you should move on tickets.
I'm going to. As soon as I get a correct number, Jorge, why don't you get the correct number for me? Go around, talk to everybody, and figure it out, okay?
Oh, there's only six people here, so I'll ask.
Okay, yeah. ask around. All right, I wanted to mention this. John, you know Ted Sobel, right?
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic guy. He works at KNX, right?
I don't know where Ted works now. He has worked at KNX. I don't know if he's still there.
He did the Stanley Cup Finals this year. I know that. But he's written a new book called Touching Greatness. I wanted to give it a plug. It's available on Amazon, Touching Greatness from Ted Sobel. And I made a decision. So about a year ago, I decided, you know what? I'm going to write a book.
Okay.
And I wrote six chapters of a book. And then I went away from it. I just dropped it. I went back after I talked to Ted about his book. I was like, I should go back and see what I wrote. And you know what? It's pretty effing good. It's so pretty good.
Well, you know now you could self-publish. You don't even need to get a publisher.
But I'm going to get a gigantic publisher to do
this. Oh, really?
I'm going to get Simon & Schuster.
What is your book about?
Okay, so it's about a kid in high school playing baseball.
It's fictional.
It's fictional.
Okay.
It's about a kid in high school playing baseball who's a huge fan of Clayton Kershaw. And it's going to go after that same – remember Mike Lupica used to write those books for
– like for 12-year-olds.
What do they call that? Middle fiction or something
I know
something
what you're
like
talking
that?
About. Yeah, I'm not sure what the name of it
junior
is.
Fiction. So I'm going to finish this book, and I think it's going to be published, and I think it's going to be published by a big publisher. You think I got a shot at that, or do you think I'm just making stuff up?
Well, I think everybody – a book is like a screenplay. Everybody, apparently except you, has a screenplay in the trunk of their car.
I do not have a screenplay in my trunk.
But, yeah, I would think you have as good of a shot as anybody. I have a friend of mine. He's written eight books.
Has he really? What has he written?
He was just telling me the other day, his most recent book is about how to handle a divorce, and he's having problems doing PR for the book because nobody wants to talk about a divorce. But the book is how you come out of your divorce in a good place.
Ah.
Like that, how you, if you and your the person you're divorcing can find it in your heart to be cordial to each other, it can be pretty easy and painless.
It's not painless if you give them half your money.
Well, it depends. What if there's kids involved?
Oh, yeah, then it's different. Then you, yeah. No, I get it. So nobody wants to publish a movie about divorce? Or
No. It is published. But it's like he's written tons of books.
Yeah. All right. So my book is going to come out in, let's just say, for next baseball season. It'll come out next April.
All right. Good to know.
I'm announcing it now. Announcing it now in advance. All right. So I wanted to bring this up, John, because actually you sent this today to me. About Chris Russo and everybody knows the U.S. Men's basketball team lost its first game at the Olympics to France. The next two opponents, by the way, are Iran and
Iran today,
and then the Czech Republic. So they're going to get out of this group.
By the way, Mace, they are still favored in Vegas to win the whole thing.
And a lot of people, Russo in particular, Chris Mad Dog Russo, who I love. I love his show on MLB Network every day. He talked yesterday on his radio show about Greg Popovich. Listen to this.
Oh, he's such a grouch, and he hates the media so much. Gee whiz. You know what? This is not little San Antonio, Texas, where you can intimidate everybody, and nobody's going to say anything in that small little southwestern Texas town. You know, this is, you know, you're supposed to be representing America here. You can't answer a couple of tough questions after a bad loss. And anybody who has the audacity to ask you a question is a bird brain. Oh, come on. Cut it out. Gee whiz. I mean, my goodness gracious. It drove me nuts. I can't listen to him after these games. If you ask him anything that is looked at negatively, what do you know about basketball? You don't know anything about it. Oh, shut up, Popovich. Will you please? Shut up.
So here's an example of how Popovich is handling questions. This is after the loss to Nigeria, and here's just a little clip of you get a feel for the way Popovich is approaching the international media.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. So, can I finish my statement? Are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk, and then I'll listen to you.
What a jerk.
Oh, by the way, that wasn't to the international media. That was to Joe Vardon from The Athletic, who we've had on the show.
But wasn't it part of the international? Like, for example, now he's at the
Olympics.
Yeah,
that was a loss in Las Vegas.
Can I finish?
This is now, he's in Tokyo with the U.S. Olympic team, and he is a royal jerk. There were a bunch of words I could have inserted there. And he's dealing with reporters from all over the world. Now, is that how he's going to behave when he deals with the reporter from Germany and the reporter from France and the reporter from Australia? Is that the way he's going to behave? Because that is embarrassing. I get it when he's doing it in the NBA. That's his thing. But when you're doing it on an international stage and you're dealing with media from around the world, don't you have to be more gracious than that?
All right. I wasn't sure you were going to bring this up, but it is one of the strangest phenomenon I've seen since I've been covering the NBA is how Greg Popovich treats reporters. Because if you talk to people that have worked with Pop, they will all say to a person that he is the greatest guy you are ever going to meet, that he would literally do anything for his players, anything for his assistants. And like when Mike Brown was coaching the Lakers, he couldn't say enough. And Mike Brown, by the way, was the coach for Nigeria that beat Popovich when Joe Vardon asked that question. But you talk to Mike Budenholzer, the guy who just won in Milwaukee, comes from the Popovich tree. Steve Kerr, who is about one of the greatest guys you will ever meet, swears by Popovich so much so that he agreed to be an assistant for Pop on this team. Kerr is there, even though he's won, three of the last five titles.
Right.
And he's working as an assistant for Popovich because he played for him. So players and coaches and people like that this came up when you were gone, because I was asking Ramona.
Yeah.
They will all say, like, yeah, Sedano, and he'll say nothing but nice things about Popovich.
I think they're all scared.
I do too. I there's just no plausible explanation to keep covering up for this guy for the way he treats reporters. Particularly, as you point out, in the role that he's in. Everybody says, like, I had this conversation with David Aldridge once, and he goes, well, that's just Pop. But, I mean, I could treat people like that. You could treat people that way if you wanted to. It's just, it's so against the golden rule that I believe in, that you should treat everybody the way you would hope to be treated. He's just such a, you know what?
Yes, he is.
I can't say the word, but.
No, but everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't get it. How do you explain it? Because now everyone's calling him out on it.
Yeah.
And he still won't change.
Now, if, let's say, we lose to, and I don't think it's a guarantee that we win anymore. Do you?
I don't. Matter of fact, they're still favored to win the gold medal. I wouldn't bet on them. If I had to bet this, I wouldn't do it.
Who would you bet on?
Someone else. I'd take the field.
That's a good bet. Team USA versus the field.
They're 1-6 to win the gold medal. That's how much more talent they have than any other team. But it's just, I don't think they're, for whatever reason, they're together. They're cohesive. And sometimes where you get, you've said many times on the show that this militaristic, my way or the highway coaching style is no longer around. But there's a few leftovers from the old days.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Belichick and Popovich and, you know, Tony La Russa. And, you know, they're going to do things their way. And, you know, maybe it works. Belichick's great. La Russa's in first place. Popovich is considered the best coach in the NBA. But I don't think it gives you an excuse to treat people lousy.
Well, and here's the thing, John. Now, he is representing the United States of America.
And he's a former military guy.
Is he going to blow up at a reporter from Japan or from Australia or one of these other countries that are interviewing him?
I mean, it certainly doesn't seem ridiculous. And yeah. You know what? If you talk to one of these Popovich apologists, they will all say, oh, no, he's smart enough to know when not to cross the line.
Well, let's find out. You know, here's what Fran Fraschilli, by the way, said about the Team USA. Good basketball is a chemistry experiment. France, Australia, Spain have built good FIBA cultures over the years. USA basketball has the challenge to take great talent and create culture with 5 games in the next 13 days and 0 practice time. Isn't that essentially what Team USA is up against?
Right, and I'm not so sure it wouldn't be smarter to send an actual team over there.
I totally agree with you.
Like, for example, you know, ideally in a perfect world, you would send the NBA champs. But this year, it wouldn't have worked out. Like, Milwaukee couldn't have, like, won the title.
Well, Drew Holiday's there.
And flew. But that's an all-star team. But, well, here's what I'm saying. What if you would have sent, like, a team that got, a good team that got knocked out early? Like, the Lakers probably wouldn't have worked because LeBron and AD were injured. Same thing with Brooklyn. But if you would have sent a decent team, like the Utah Jazz over there.
Right.
Now, you might say, okay, the problem is you can't have Gobert, you can't have Ingles, you know, you wouldn't have the international thing. So there's holes in this plan of mine. But you know what I'm saying? A group of guys that are used to playing together.
Yeah.
Would that be better than what we're doing?
I absolutely think it would be better. Send, I'm trying to think, what team? Send Philly.
It'd have to be a team.
Ben Simmons. Terrible.
Well, Ben Simmons and Embiid are both, you know, from another.
Oh, from other countries. Right. I don't know if Ben Simmons is playing for Australia or not.
No, he decided not to play. But I just wonder if it would be smarter to send a group of guys who are used to playing together.
Because I'll tell you. You just throw an all-star team together. It doesn't mean it's, what's the expression? The whole isn't equal to the sum of its parts.
Right.
Am I using that?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, you said it correctly. I don't know, and I don't know if my if this plan we're discussing is realistic because there's so many international stars in the NBA now that wouldn't work necessarily.
But you know, the thing with Pop John, if we lose, I hope he does it with class and with grace and with professionalism. That's what, and I don't know if he's got that in him.
Yeah, we're gonna find out. But I agree with everything Russo said. I think Russo got it right.
Yeah, me too. All right, coming up next, why we should trust Andrew Friedman and Rob Pelinka. Why we should trust those two guys in this critical week. That is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Totally not kidding, by the way, about taking everybody to the Dodgers right field pavilion for the Astros-Dodgers 1 week from tonight. I was not joking, John. And you're still invited. You and Lisa are invited to come out to the to Dodger Stadium and boo
the
Astros.
I would not be in the spirit of what your adventure is. I'm not a booer.
I'm going to be dressed up as a trash can.
Yeah.
Wear a trash can costume.
Could I bang on you with a baseball bat?
Yes, you probably.
Then I might go.
Yes, then you would take advantage of it. By the way, Dodgers-Giants tonight in San Francisco. Lineup is out. Julio Urias is pitching. Wow, Luke Raley is back up. Billy McKinney is in right field. Luke Raley in left field. We've stacked up the lefties. We've got Cody Bellinger, obviously, Max Muncy. Bellinger back in the lineup. We still have Mookie on the IL, so Chris Taylor's going to lead off at shortstop. Muncy, JT, Will Smith batting cleanup. Cody Bellinger, AJ Pollock in center field. Billy McKinney in right and Luke Raley in left with Urias pitching.
So Muncy's out. Muncy's available, but he's not starting?
He's starting. He's batting second and playing second base.
Oh, he's playing second base.
Yeah.
Okay.
With Cody at first. And okay. AJ Pollock in center. They're really juggling.
It's a weird outfield.
So I wanted to put this out there. We were talking earlier about the Dodgers and this potential, the multiple potential trades that are out there. The idea of Craig Kimbrell, who's the closer for the Cubs. The idea of Max Scherzer, who's been an ace in baseball for a long time. Kimbrell is under team control for next year, makes $16 million. Scherzer can potentially walk away. I wanted to read something. John Weissman tweeted this out this morning, who's a huge Dodger fan. I think he still writes that blog, Dodger Thoughts.
Okay.
And he listed the players that the Dodgers have traded for starting pitching since 2015. So everybody that they have moved for starting pitching, this includes Yu Darvish. This includes everybody they traded for the rotation. I'm trying to think who else was that. Yu, Darvish, anyway, all these guys. Here are the guys that they've traded. A.J. Alexi, Brendan Davis, Willie Calhoun, Grant Holmes, Jarrell Cotton, Frankie Montas, Caleb Dierks, Phil Pfeiffer, Zachary Bird, Hector Olivero, Paco Rodriguez, Victor Araujo, I said that wrong. Araujo. Kevin Guzman. Jeff Brigham. Now, what do those guys all have in common, John?
None of them have excelled at the major league level.
Correct. That's why we should trust Andrew Friedman. He's been making deals all these years. Those are the guys that he's moved out. They were all once hot prospects that everybody wanted, and he was great at selecting. And you really can't find one that they traded, aside from Alex Verdugo, who has been effective at the major league level. And essentially, it was Alex Verdugo for Mookie Betts, and everybody would make that deal every day of the week.
Right, and this goes along with something I've always thought. I will always trade unproven for proven. Always. If you can go out and get Max Scherzer, and they want Keibert Ruiz, give them Keibert Ruiz. Mace, I'd give them Gavin Lux. But nobody will do that because they say, no, he's the future. But there's a reason that teams in big markets often get star players. It's because they can afford to do this. And Andrew Friedman's really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that he traded, I mean, so they're all hot prospects, right? You know, oh, the hot prospects. But he's traded the right hot prospects, the ones that didn't hit. He didn't trade Will Smith. He didn't trade Gavin Lux, who I still think is going to be somebody. He didn't trade the guys that ultimately have broken into the big leagues. He traded guys who didn't amount. And I feel the same, by the way. I trust Andrew Friedman completely. I trust him completely. I also trust Rob Pelinka completely. I mentioned that story earlier. They are the third best team, according to, let's just say, science. I don't have the organization right in front of me, but through a bunch of analysis, third best team at drafting. Rob Pelinka was able to put the right players around LeBron James and AD 2 years ago to win that championship in the bubble. Were it not for injuries this year, I believe this team would have won the championship. So that's why, whatever happens, baseball trade deadline Friday, NBA draft Thursday, NBA free agency starts on Monday, I put complete trust in Rob Pelinka and Andrew Friedman. What about you?
Well, you can only judge them on what their track record is.
Correct.
Every time, you know, when Rob gave up all those players to get Anthony Davis, everybody thought, well, you just traded away your whole future. Well, none of those guys, you know, Brandon Ingram made one All-Star game. But the Lakers, as soon as they got AD, won the whole thing.
Right. No, that's a trade you make. You make that trade.
You just read the list of Dodgers who have been sent out. None of those guys have come back to burn you. So, I mean, I just think they – and the thing you have to remember that's hard for fans to understand is that they know more than you do. All right?
Except in talk radio, you're allowed to know more than those guys.
Yeah, everybody thinks that they know what to do and what not to do, and you don't. Okay, you don't know more than they have access to information that you don't have, and so you've got to give them time. I remember when Rob Pelinka got that job, and everybody said, "Well, it's a loser job because you'll never get out from under Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng. Those will hang around you like an albatross. You cannot." And within a year, Rob got out of both deals. I mean, it wasn't easy, but he got out of both deals in a year. And that opened up the floodgates for him to go out and do other things and, you know, get KCP, manna from heaven. Okay, yep. You know, which opened the door.
Manna from heaven.
Which opened the door with Clutch, which built the relationship that eventually led to LeBron. And you know, you have to assume that he's working on things and working on long plays that you don't know about. And that's a hard thing for fans to understand sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think that we're going to see, I don't know if you agree, I think we're going to see tremendous turnover.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, the Dodgers aren't going to go through this week without making a deal, and the Lakers are not bringing everybody back. It just
– No.
Those are absolute facts.
I think it's a fascinating week. I mean, for both organizations, and we will follow it for you and make sure you have every bit of breaking information all week long. This is, you know, we do a lot of screwing around. This is a very sort of newsy week, I guess, if you will, a newsy week. Like, stuff is going to happen in the next week or so. The Dodgers are going to make some trades. They're going to reshape their pitching staff. The Lakers are going to basically put together a whole roster around LeBron and AD. Everybody else, who knows?
Right. And even the guys who, you know, have player options, you don't know if they're going to be around when the season starts.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready for anything.
You know what the most divisive issue of the day is? Is Simone Biles.
Yeah. A lot of people think she quit on her team.
I tweeted out, how do you feel about Simone Biles dropping out of the Olympic team gymnastics competition because of a mental health issue? Man, I'm telling you, people are lit up over this.
I think they would be more forgiving, tell me if you agree, if she would have dropped out of an individual event than dropping out of the team. The fact that she cost her teammates a chance at the gold medal is not a good look. Even though I support anybody who's not feeling mentally strong to do whatever they need to do to get right. But I think that might be why she's getting so much blowback.
I've got some interesting tweets about it. Plus, we should take one more round of calls on this. Again, Simone Biles bowed out of the U.S. Gymnastics team competition last night. The team wound up finishing second, won the silver. But she stepped out because of mental health issues.
Mace, this is bigger than just an Olympics issue or a sports issue.
Correct.
This is, everybody has people in their life that for whatever reason check out for mental health reasons.
Yes.
When they do you think less of them? Because if the reaction we're getting to Simone Biles is any indication, you do. I know everybody likes to say, oh, you know, you do what it takes to get, you know. But, no, I mean, there's a lot of vitriol over this.
Oh, there absolutely is. You know, people say she's a quitter, she's soft, all that kind of stuff. 877-710-ESPN. I am completely with Simone Biles on this. If it's not there, if your head isn't there, if you're having a terrible struggle, if you're really dealing with a tremendous anxiety issue or a depression issue or whatever that is, take that day. She took that day. It happened to be yesterday. And I think she remains the greatest American gymnast, the greatest gymnast anywhere in the world of all time. 877-710-ESPN. Then we got Game of Games in Ireland. It's your game today.
Correct.
All right. That's coming up for you, Mason. And the lie of the day at the end of the show.
I got it.
I think you've got it. Okay,
I think you got it. Yeah.
We will find out.
Well, I've got it narrowed down to two.
Okay. We'll find out if you guys have sniffed it out. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I just saw a story. Jalen Brunson, John, who is with the Dallas Mavericks,
right,
has actually spoken out on the Simone Biles thing. And he says, good for her. Sometimes you need to check out if things aren't right, which I completely agree with.
Okay, I just got a text from a friend of mine. Biles calls herself the GOAT, greatest of all time. She had GOAT sewn into her uniform. She's done every endorsement under the sun. She easily could have taken a more low-profile path. GOATs don't quit. Is that fair?
You know, I don't think it's fair to question somebody who says they're having a mental health issue. That is personal. Nobody knows what's going on inside her head. I think it's unbelievably unfair to judge.
Yeah, except that I don't know if you can call yourself the greatest of all time.
She's the greatest of all time.
Is she? After today?
Oh, yeah, even after today, John. She will have won more medals than any woman has ever won in gymnastics by the time this thing is over. And she is doing things, they're actually naming moves that she has created or maneuvers that she has created that nobody else has ever been able to do.
So I'm trying to figure out who has that title now? Like, who's the greatest Olympic gymnast of all time?
Simone Biles.
No, before that. Do we have to go back to Nadia Comaneci or is it somebody more modern?
Yeah, I don't know my gymnastics as well as
here's Marcus in Cerritos on line four. Hey, Marcus, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, first I was going to call to say you guys are like playing pity party because we were dogging Kyrie for not showing up for his team.
Hey, by the way, I was not dogging Kyrie. I was supporting Kyrie.
I think the problem,
Marcus. A lot of people
were
dogging him.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, a lot of people are dogging him, but
correct.
I'm not going to make it a girl or guy issue. What a lot of guys that I'm in Facebook talking about, we're saying, like, if this was the Super Bowl and you were the quarterback and you just said, I wasn't feeling it today, we will be all over him. And as a teammate, I will feel down. Now, she makes the most money on the team. The rest of those girls might not never show up, and they probably make, like, $10,000, $30,000, somewhere in there. She's making millions. So if they would have got gold, they would have been on Wheaties boxes. They would have been on Ellen, all kind of stuff. But because she didn't show up when she was supposed to, and her excuse was mental health, I think that excuse is the issue. If she really was going through something and she said, hey, I'm blind in one eye or my leg is numb, like just calling it mental issues, I think people are having a hard time with everybody using that as an excuse.
All right. Hey, thanks, Marcus, for the phone call. Mace, would she have been, because of everything Marcus just outlined,
right?
Would it have been smarter for her
to fake an injury?
Yes.
No.
To say, I had vertigo. And you can't jump on the vault if you have vertigo. You got to be.
That's totally dishonest.
Of course it is. But would the fall or the abuse she's taking today be less if she did? I think it would.
Yeah, but that's why lie about. Why isn't mental
because of
health
what,
the same as physical health?
Because you're hearing it today. I mean, here's Mike in Irvine. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. I think you mentioned the Roberto Duran issue. I think this is going to color the Simone Biles story for years to come.
Yeah, probably.
Down here, there's kind of two contemporary issues. One is with Naomi Osaka, who chose to not do a couple of Grand Slam tennis events, but still chose to do the Olympics because that's where her endorsements and sponsors were.
Right.
And I found myself, I'm a tennis instructor in Irvine, I found myself cheering against her and was actually not disappointed when she lost yesterday. And similarly, I have a 14-year-old daughter who's in competitive swim, and we have a teammate who, in a similar situation with a physical injury, just pulled out of her individual events in order to still support the team with the relays. And that if things go as it's currently being reported, that she still might do the individuals but chose not to do the team, I think that's going to really sully her reputation going forward.
Will it change if she wins 5 gold medals tomorrow night?
No, because she still chose the personal over the team. And I think there's, with the whole Olympic ideal, is that we're supporting our country, you're pulling for the team, and that she chose to pull out of the team in order to have individual success, I think that will really affect negatively.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I think that the fact that the one event she pulled out of, and thanks for the phone call, Mike, the one event she pulled out of, Mace, was the team event. And she could still get 5 individual golds, but now none of her teammates can win gold.
But do you really think in 10 years anybody's going to remember Simone Biles pulled out of that event?
I do.
I think
Roberto Duran, everybody, the first two words you think of are no mas.
Yeah, I do not think anybody's going to remember this. I think when you look at her history, if you look at the number of goals, I mean, I think if she scores big tomorrow night, if she, by the way, we should say, if she's not announced that she's going to compete tomorrow night, she has not said, yes, I'm in for the individual event. So we have to wait and see. But she is the most medaled female athlete of all time, right up there. Right up there as one of the most medaled female athletes of all time. I think in 10 years, nobody's going to remember what happened.
Yeah, I think you're being naive. I think a lot of people are going to remember what happened. And I also think it's, you know, he mentioned that Osaka dropped out of 2 majors and then decided to go to the Olympics. She lit the Olympic cauldron. And then last night she got beat by the 57th ranked player in the world. I think that if she did go to the Olympics specifically because of her sponsors, it's not really what the Olympics are about. And so I think people will hold
that
against.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You're not saying she gave anything less than everything she had, Naomi Osaka.
No, but I'm saying that if, like, why do you think she didn't play Wimbledon?
Well, she's obviously having issues.
But the issues weren't there when she went to the Olympics?
I think the issues were probably exacerbated at the. Do you know how much pressure there is being the athlete that lights the cauldron?
Well, or to be the arguably the most famous athlete in the home country. She was playing
right.
She's playing for Japan.
There is so much pressure.
Yeah,
that goes along with that
for Japan, and so it'll be interesting to see.
All right.
By the
game
way,
of games time?
Yeah, yeah. Let's play game of games. Let's just go to game of games.
Okay, game of games, and then lie of the day. If you think you know the lie of the day, 877-710-ESPN. We will take exactly one caller. Jesse, make sure we've got somebody with a legitimate guess for what today's lie is.
From today's show.
Gotcha. Yesterday's show.
Game of games is next, then lie of the day. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah. Game of games time. It is John Ireland's game today. I cannot find the monthly score, it's Ireland 7, Lindsay 4, Jorge 3, me 2, nothing for Jesse, who's the filling in for Lindsay right now, and God knows Laura Romo is probably feeding hints to Jesse. And
hey, Laura, I don't want you to be talking to Jorge like outside. I know they can do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, and Mace, we've reached the part of the game where these all count as two.
Oh,
so
nice.
So whoever wins today gets two wins.
Oh, I need
okay.
This bad.
All right. So here we go.
Yep.
As we've been talking about, the NBA draft is set for Thursday.
Yep.
Now, in honor of that, I have a game of NBA draft trivia. It's all multiple choice. So Jorge can play, Jesse can play, and Mace can play. Is Laura playing?
No, she's not in here.
Okay.
Okay,
so three players. Here we go. Jesse, we'll start with you. Which one of these guys was not an overall number one draft pick in the NBA draft? Right. A, Michael Thompson. B, Larry Bird. C, James Worthy. D, Anthony Davis. A, B, C, or D?
I'm going to go with B was Larry Bird, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
All right. Jorge.
I'll go with Worthy.
You're going Worthy. Mace.
I'm going Larry Bird.
Larry Bird is the correct answer. All those other guys, Michael, Worthy, and AD, were number one overall picks. All right. Next up, Jorge, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Which one of these guys was not an NBA lottery pick? A, Kobe Bryant. B, Andre Iguodala. C, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Or D, Klay Thompson. A, B, C, or D?
I'll go B.
You're going Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
Jesse.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with Iggy as well.
All right, Mace.
And I'm also on Andre Iguodala.
The correct answer is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No,
he was taken two picks. Milwaukee, as a matter of fact, had no lottery picks on their team this year until they traded for Drew Holiday. And maybe Holiday wasn't even one. I think Holiday was taken like 20th. All right. So it's Jesse 1, Mason 1, Jorge 0. Mace, this one's to you. In 2009, four guards were taken with the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th picks. The 7th pick was also a guard. Was it A, James Harden, B, Steph Curry, C, John Wall, or D, Damian Lillard?
I'm going to go Steph.
Okay, Jorge.
Harden.
Jesse.
I'm going to go Lillard.
Mason gets the point. It was Steph Curry. He was taken behind guys like Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn. All right, back to Jesse. Which one of these guys was originally drafted by the Lakers?
Okay.
Was it A, Pau Gasol, B, Jamal Wilkes, C, Pat Riley, or D, Gail Goodrich?
I'm going to go with B.
You're saying Jamal Wilkes.
Jamal Wilkes,
all right, Jorge.
I'll go C.
You're going Pat Riley. Mace.
Who was drafted by the
Only one of those was. Pau, Jamal, Riley, or Goodrich?
I'm going to go Goodrich.
Goodrich is the correct answer. Gasol was taken by Memphis. Jamal Wilkes was taken by the Warriors. Pat Riley was taken by, I believe it was San Diego, the Rockets, or maybe Phoenix, but Gail Goodrich was the only one. All right, so it's Mason 3.
Yes.
Jesse 1, Jorge 0. Mace, chance to get 2 here, and there are only 2 left, so you all make Mason go last. Here we go. Or go first. I'm sorry. Mace, which one of these guys was undrafted in the NBA? Undrafted. Okay. A, Wesley Matthews. B, Marc Gasol. C, Jared Dudley. Or D, Montrezl Harrell. A, B, C, or D?
I'm going to go Montrezl Harrell.
All right, Jorge.
I'll go with A.
Wesley Matthews. Jesse.
It was who was undrafted, right?
Correct.
I'm going to go with B.
Marc Gasol. No, Jorge is on the board.
Yeah.
It was Wesley Matthews, which means Mason 3, Jesse 1, Jorge 1. Mace, you've got it locked up. We'll play the last one just for fun.
Okay.
Which one of these players was not taken before Kobe in the 96 draft? Not taken before Kobe.
Okay.
A, Ray Allen. B, Steve Nash. C, Stephon Marbury. D, Antoine Walker. Mace, A, B, C, or D?
Same one more time.
Ray Allen, Steve Nash, Stephon Marbury, or Antoine Walker?
I'm going to go Steve Nash.
Jesse?
I'm going to go Antoine Walker.
Jorge?
Yeah, Walker.
The answer is Nash. He was taking one pick after Kobe. So Mace with a convincing win. Okay, let's get to Lie of the Day.
Lie of the Day.
I've put a lot of thought into it. Should we take the call first or should I go first?
Let's try the call first. If you get it right, you win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt.
All right. Who's online, Jorge?
Troy in L.A.
Troy in L.A. Troy, what do you think the lie of the day was?
Mason's age. He is not 50. He said he was 50. That's not correct.
Okay.
Well, we were kind of joking.
We were kind of goofing
that.
Around there.
We were kind
yeah,
of goofing.
So I don't think that's going to do it, but thanks anyway for trying.
Yeah, no, we were
Jorge,
just, John was making fun of me.
Yeah. Jorge, what is your guess?
His girlfriend, Claudia Schwarp, whatever her name is.
Claudia Schrapp.
Claudia
Schnapps.
Schrapp. Okay. Jesse, what do you think?
I think it was that beeswax story.
Okay.
The wax.
Okay. So I've never heard the name Claudia Schrapp, which I think I would have heard by now, but I don't think that's it. I also have never heard the redhead with the hair extensions at the bar, but I'm moving away from that too. I'm going to be mad if it's one of those two. Mace, I think you went to the well too much with the origins. I think that you tried 3 different ones, and my guess is one of those is fake. I think Mind Your Beeswax is real. I think Crack a Smile is real. I think not playing with a full deck is real. I think you made up the one about losing face. I think you just completely, I think you said you get in front of a fire and your face melts off, which I think was completely ridiculous. Did anyone get the lie of the day?
John, you will hate yourself. There was no redhead who lost the hair extension. Every other story on the show is true, including those origin. I love expression origins, but yeah, no, there was no redhead that I was macking out with and then lost a big hair extension.
I talked myself out of that.
Yeah.
It happened to me
Claudia
yesterday.
Schrapps, God bless her. She did not really see the end of the night for me because I was in a bathtub throwing up schnapps, and she did become Claudia Schnapps after that.
I just thought
legend.
You went to the origins one too many times.
I figured I tripped somebody up on the origins thing.
And that somebody was me.
Yeah, no, the losing face thing, by the way, is true. So women used to cover their face with wax. And if they were losing, if they got too warm, the wax would melt, and they would say she's losing face. And that's where losing face came from.
Wow.
Where did this come from?
Football is life!
Football is life!
Football is life! What's that character's name?
Danny Rojo.
Danny Rojas.
Football is life.
God, everybody loves Ted Lasso now. I'm glad everybody's watching it.
Football is life.
Such a good show. All right, we're done. Hey, don't forget tomorrow. We're all over NBA draft, NBA trade deadline, or free agent deadline, Major League Baseball trade. It's all going down. So you want to make sure you're here tomorrow, 12:55 sharp. When there is news, we will have it for you. Sedano, LZ, Kaplan coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.